Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's May the 5th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, the president will create a biofuels interagency working group to push cleaner biofuels and those from non-food crops. And Mr. Obama wants USDA to immediately make credit available to the existing renewable fuels industry, that to preserve jobs in ethanol and biodiesel plants, renewable electricity generation plants, and their supporting industries. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. It's a Tuesday during the growing season, then that always means we'll hear updates on crop progress from around the Midwest. The short version is Iowa and beyond is ahead of schedule, but stopped for the moment. East of the Mississippi is, well, just stopped. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will tell us whether they'll get started again as we take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of public radio from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at 541.5, up 3 cents. July up 2.5 at 553.5, and the September at 580.25 finished 2.75 higher on the afternoon. May corn futures at 398.5, up 0.5. July down 0.25 at 405.25. September at 414.25, down 0.25. December contract 0.5 cent lower at $4.25 for Dease corn, and the March at 437.5, down 0.25. May beans at $11.16, 0.75 higher. July at 11.01, down 2.5. August at 10.61.5, down 6.5. And September 7.5 cents lower at $10.07. November beans at $9.60.5, down 10 cents on the day. May bean meal futures, 358.50, up 90 cents. May bean oil at 37.69, down 25 cents. June live cattle futures, 82.12.5, 25 cents higher. The May feeders at 97.42.5, up 2.5 cents. And the May lean hog futures today, a settlement price there at $55.80 a hundredweight. The settlement price down 17.5 cents. For the lean hogs, May contract June at $64.80, down, or rather up, $1.02.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures settled at $53.84 a barrel. That's down 63 cents. July at $55.44, down 74. May ethanol, $1.61.5, unchanged. The June 6 cents higher at $1.63.1. Natural gas June contract at $3.61.4, down 11.1 cents. And the June RBOB gasoline at $1.57.2, 1.3 cents lower. June heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.42.7, down 7 cents. And the propane futures at 66.8, and the June contract 1.7 cents higher. May gold futures at $903.70. An ounce, up $2.10. The Dow now stands just about 40 points lower at 83.87. The U.S. dollar at 84.14 is up 0.46. And the CRB index now at 231.90 is down 0.48 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sola, he says in northern and central Indiana, should be clear to partly cloudy this evening. Elsewhere, becoming mostly cloudy with some widely scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms, especially in far southern and northwestern parts of Illinois. Lows between 50 and 55. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with widespread showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the northern part of the state of Illinois. Highs again will be generally between 70 and 75, with the mid to upper 60s near Lake Michigan. Scattered showers will remain in the forecast into the weekend, especially in the southern sections. Locations near the Ohio River could receive more than 2 inches of rain over the next week to 10 days. The driest areas will stretch from the Illinois River into central Indiana. More on the agriculture weather with Don Day at the bottom of the hour.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Tuesday afternoon, we talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, about the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Hello, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start off in the bean pit for the day. Nearby managed to gain, but everything else was lower.
Well, you know, we had a couple things happen there. Of course, we continue to hear of possibly even poor yields out of Argentina, number one. And then word of a problem at the Santos, Brazil port, where supposedly a couple ships run into each other, run aground, and might have some problem loading out of the Bungay area down there. You know, and then there's, like I say, the rumor that the Argentine crop could even drop below 30 million metric tons that way. There was also a rumor out there, though, that the Brazil crop might be just a tad bigger than what we'd estimated last time around. But very tight old bean crop stocks, you know, and continuing to get tighter. And then, of course, if there was a problem shipping out of Brazil, that'd be even tighter yet. So that's why we kept the old crop up. You know, and we've also looked here at the new crop beans. You know, we have seen lots of farmers be talking over here about that they might be willing to put out a few more acres of beans than corn, number one, for lateness, and number two, because they figure they can make a little more money per acre.
You think they'll actually follow through?
Depends on where they are when they go to the field. And I think that is very much the case here. If we had the same ratio we do today and they were in the field today, I would think they would still plant corn, but they would be thinking of switching that 100, 200 acres maybe over to beans.
Kind of a dime running trade in the corn pit for the day, but they managed to settle nearly unchanged almost, just a half cent or a quarter cent either way of zero this afternoon.
You could have possibly, you know, been on the wrong side of this market, however you tried today, and still ended up with about unchanged on the day in the corn. We had, you know, some real, the overnight being stronger than what we thought it might have been. Then the weakness was a little weaker than we thought it might have been. And then coming back to unchanged, just a very range-bound trade in the corn for right now until we can get a little better handle on the weather and see what's going on, Todd.
Yeah, was that what was happening there today, was that the weather forecast was varying a bit, whether they were actually going to put rainfall in the mid part of the week across the mid part of Illinois and Indiana?
Oh, very much so, Todd. I think that the earlier forecast was a little bit drier, and then we sold off on that. And then, you know, then we got the little wetter forecast from some of the forecasts at noon, and it looks through mid part next week appears to be wetter in Central Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio with a half-inch precipitation again, and, you know, it put a little concern back into things. You know, we were actually ahead of last year as far as getting this corn crop planted with the progress report yesterday, and we got the crop in by the end of the month, so we can make some very fast progress if we have some good clear weather, but we're having a lot of trouble finding that over here in Central Indiana.
All right. What else did you watch for the day?
Oh, I think, you know, as the crude oil seems to be under a little pressure. There's also the fact that the EPA had sort of a mixed ruling there. They want to speed the advanced biofuels output, but then they went ahead and said that they didn't like the way that part of the carbon footprint that some of the older ethanol plants left, which doesn't go well for publicity and how people feel, but they will grandfather them in. But as we both know, the corn market really is dependent on the actual use of ethanol and the buying of corn for that. So we need to see that pick up again.
In fact, thank you very much, and we'll talk with you again soon.
All right, thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us all the way through the ag news for the day. That one mentioned quickly, U.S. EPA did propose a new alternative fuel standard that will likely prohibit some corn ethanol production processes based on their greenhouse gas emission.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama plans to create a new interagency group to make the biofuels industry cleaner and encourage output of ethanol made from non-food crops. The Biofuels Interagency Working Group, to be headed by the secretaries of the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Energy, and USDA, will be asked to identify policies that would make biofuels more environmentally sound and encourage production of flex fuel cars that can run on either gasoline or fuel that is mostly ethanol. In addition, President Obama will ask Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to immediately begin refinancing of existing investments in renewable fuels as needed to preserve jobs in ethanol and biodiesel plants, renewable electricity generation plants, and supporting industries. Canada will move ahead with its World Trade Organization complaint on U.S. country of origin labeling rules by filing for consultations with the WTO. Seeking consultations is the first step in an official complaint. For the first time, USDA has released a national survey of cash rents by county based on a survey of 700,000 operators nationwide. The county data was compiled for 2008 crops and released May 1st and shows operators are paying widely divergent cash rents that do not always match soil types or productivity. The survey by USDA's National Agriculture Statistics Service found Sangamon County, Illinois, topping the nation with an average rent of $224 per acre in 2008. Four nearby counties, Logan, Macon, Moultrie, and Macoupin, also broke the $200 per acre mark. Throughout the Corn Belt, only one other county, Grundy County, Iowa, commanded rent at that level. Competition from low-cost, aggressive farm operators in the Decatur-Springfield corridor helped push some documented 2009 cash rents above $400 per acre. And Archer Daniels Midland today says that its profit fell to $8 million, or a penny per share, in the 3 months ending March 31st, down from $517 million, or 80 cents per share, a year earlier. The latest results included a loss of $229 million, or 36 cents per share, from equity investments. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, The Closing Market Report, and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, we'll hear about crop progress from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska. Here are the highlights as released by USDA. By the week's end this past week, 33% of this year's corn crop around the nation had been planted. That's 9 points ahead of last year, but 17 points behind the 5-year rolling average. Nationally, emergence of corn at 5% complete was 1 point ahead of last year for the week ending on Saturday, but 9 points behind normal. The most crop development for corn at 68% was evident in Texas, where warm weather improved growing conditions. Emergence, of course, behind average in Illinois and Nebraska, and even in Iowa. On the soybean side of the ledger, producers had planted 16% of their acreage by the week's end, 1 point ahead of the previous year, but 5 points behind the average. Progress was most advanced in the Delta, at 62% complete in Mississippi, 42% in Louisiana, and 23% in Arkansas, but behind normal in all three states. Planting had yet to begin in several locations and was well behind normal in all states except for Nebraska and North Carolina. On the winter wheat nationwide, 27% of the crop had advanced to the heading stage or beyond. That compared with 24% last year, 35% of the average. Overall, 47% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared to 45% a week ago, and 47% or the same at this time last year. A significant decline was seen in Arkansas's winter wheat crop due to heavy rainfall and wet fields. Now, here are the state statisticians from across the Midwest.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 3, 2009. Heavy rains caused erosion in parts of Iowa and halted planting for most of the week. One reporter commented erosion was the worst he'd ever seen, and several reporters said warmer, sunny weather was needed. There were only 1.4 days suitable for field work during the week in Iowa, compared to the five-year average of 3.4 days. Farmers in the Northwest District had the best opportunity for field work with 2.5 days suitable for field work, followed by 1.8 days in the West Central District. The Central District and three Southern districts all had less than one whole day suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture was rated 98%. Adequate to surplus, and subsoil moisture was rated 98% adequate to surplus. Corn planting progressed to 60% complete, 11 days ahead of the last year and 2 days ahead of the five-year average. 2% of Iowa's corn had emerged compared with none last year. Normally, 7% has emerged by this date. Reporters cited cool soil temperatures as the cause of slow germination. 96% of the oats had been planted and 55% had emerged. Although the planting pace exceeds the five-year average, emergence trailed average by 2 percentage points due to abnormally cool soil temperatures. Soybean planting advanced to 6% complete, ahead of last year's pace, but 2 percentage points behind the five-year average. Planting was most advanced in the western districts. Fertilizer applications are 91% complete, 16 percentage points ahead of last year, and 3 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. Reporters commented that pastures had greened up and are beginning to produce good growth, with 90% rated fair or better. This is Greg Tayson, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 3rd. Above normal temperatures had little effect on drying out the fields due to the soaking rains experienced last week, bringing fieldwork activities to a screeching halt once again. Statewide, precipitation averaged 1.37 inches above normal, with all nine crop reporting districts recording at least 1.5 inches of rainfall. And it should be no surprise that topsoil moisture once again took a turn for the worse and was reported as 22% adequate and 78% surplus. Corn planting advanced by only 1 percentage point last week at 5% complete, compared to 25% last year and 66% for the five-year average. The last time we saw corn planting this delayed, we have to go back to 1993. The soft red winter wheat crop has benefited from the recent warm, moist conditions and was reported as 6% headed compared to 4% 1 year ago and 22% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was reported as fair to mostly good. Oat seeding is now 74% complete compared to 76% last year and the five-year average of 91%. Pastures, alfalfa, and red clover fields were once again rated in fair to mostly good condition and continued to show excellent growth. The first cutting of alfalfa will likely begin for many forage producers within the next week, weather permitting. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with their crop weather report for the week ending May 3rd, 2009. Unseasonably cool temperatures and wet weather across the state had temperatures averaging 6 degrees below normal throughout the state. Widespread precipitation ranged from a quarter of an inch of moisture in the north central district to over an inch in the southern half of the state. Corn planting is 5 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the average and is over halfway complete. Soybeans and sorghum planting is underway. Oats conditions rated 80% good or excellent. Oats planted is nearly complete and over three quarters has emerged. Wheat conditions are mostly good and excellent and remained above last year and a third half jointed. Alfalfa pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above last year. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 3, 2009. Damp, cool conditions slowed field work following last week's rapid pace. Rainfall was recorded at all reporting stations with amounts ranging from 1/4 to over 1 inch of rainfall. Producers that were able to return to the fields late in the reporting period made progress in land prepared for corn and corn planted, with some producers making transitions to soybeans. Statewide, 73% of the land prepared for corn was complete, with 59% planted. Land prepared for soybeans advanced to 19% complete, with 7% planted. That's been the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 3, 2009. This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets by Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about the agricultural energy markets at the moment. How are the ethanol plants faring?
Well, I'll tell you, the trends here in the gasoline market have definitely come to life here in a big way. So gasoline prices coming up here in the past week on the seasonal tendency that we normally see out into mid to late May. So obviously the ethanol plants have a lot more than just the gasoline price, but the gasoline futures are definitely coming along. And this is part of the seasonal tendency that we expect to continue on out close to the Memorial Day holiday weekend.
So if we look at the July contract, the settlement price in the crude oil at $55.44 a barrel, is $60 in the offing, do you think?
I think it is. We've had some recent highs around $55 to $56. We got up and we were probing those yesterday and again earlier today. We haven't quite cleared the $56 level yet. Once we do, that's some previous monthly highs. Then we'll probably be on the road to more of $60. However, in gasoline, we definitely cleared the previous several months of highs here yesterday. And, in fact, nearby gasoline futures traded to their highest level since mid to late October of last year. So gasoline's definitely leading the complex to the upside. Diesel fuel is getting drug along, but it's definitely not the leader. We have to remember that gasoline demand is almost equal to last year here now. However, diesel fuel demand is still running 12% below year-ago levels on this lagging economy, even though the stock market's come back around in a big way here and some stock charts look more bullish than they have in the past months, we still have that diesel demand lagging gasoline demand, even gasoline pumps in some areas going back over diesel pumps. And this demand is a big part of it. And at the same time, gasoline stocks are coming back down in the normal range, where diesel stocks are way over the normal range for this time of the year.
I suppose that means that freight's still not moving at a fairly rapid rate or as big a pace it has been in the past. And we'll watch that one for a recovery in the whole economy as a whole. Is that right?
That's right.
All right, anything else to add before I let you go?
That's all for now. Still looking for the seasonal peak later in the month.
Okay, thanks much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark. He's in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report to talk about the ag energies each and every Tuesday afternoon. A quick look here at one news story. The U.S. EPA today did propose to a new alternative fuel standard that will likely prohibit some corn ethanol production processes that are based on their greenhouse gas emissions. Although existing corn ethanol facilities will be grandfathered in, the proposed bill rule should prohibit some processes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The hospital executive who blew the whistle on a kickback scheme that led to charges against former Governor Rod Blagojevich says the stress of working undercover took a big toll. Edward Hospital CEO Pam Davis says her fingernails began to crack and fall off after months of wearing a wire, but she says it was worth it to help uncover government corruption. Davis testified today before a legislative committee studying the Health Facilities Planning Board, which is linked to the charges against the ousted former governor. She spoke in favor of removing two board employees, arguing they did nothing to fight corruption on the board. Those employees say they did nothing wrong and want to keep their jobs. The number of Illinois' confirmed cases of the H1N1 or swine flu virus is up to 82. The big jump in that total from yesterday of 9 is because Illinois began doing its own confirmation tests over the weekend. There are also 40 probable cases of the virus, including one in Sangamon County, the only such case reported downstate. There are 55 confirmed cases between Chicago and suburban Cook counties. Meanwhile, the first Illinois school to close because of the virus is getting ready to reopen. A Chicago Public Schools spokeswoman says Kilmer Elementary School on Chicago's north side will reopen tomorrow. Officials say other Illinois schools also are reopening after closing last week. The country's top energy regulator says the federal government needs to spend much more money on improving the country's electrical grid. The head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says at the American Wind Energy Association convention in Chicago that the several billion dollars in President Obama's stimulus plan is really only seed money. Commission Chairman John Willinghoff also says the federal government needs greater authority to organize transmission projects. Those projects often run into opposition from landowners and even some states. And the Urbana City Council's newest member says the redevelopment of the Philo Road Business District will help strengthen the city as a whole. 7th Ward Alderwoman Diane Marlin says the area is hungry for more businesses for walkers and bikers to access, complimenting the restaurants, grocery stores, and drugstores already in the area. Marlin was sworn in last night. I'm Jeff Bossert.
Of Illinois Public Media, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, a little bit of good news, a little bit of bad news. The bad news first, the wet weather is going to continue here with plenty of shower and thunderstorm activity on tap for the Midwest, especially Indiana, Ohio, southern and eastern Illinois. Looks like rainfall amounts of this next wave will be as much as 2 to 3 inches of rain in the heaviest areas of Indiana and Ohio, anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half of rain for portions of Illinois. So it's going to be wet. But the part of the good news is that we may actually trend a little bit drier after this wave of moisture goes on through as we get into the weekend and early next week. It's not a completely dry forecast, but we're going to get a couple of days, maybe 3 days of a bit of a break in the weather, and then we may see the storm track directing the bigger storms a little bit further south next week.
When do we start the rainfall? Is that tomorrow or later in the week?
Well, it certainly looks like as we get into tomorrow night and into Thursday, we're going to especially see Kentucky, southern Indiana, and Ohio get into the act, and then the second wave comes in, bringing the rains to Illinois, portions of Iowa and Missouri as we get into Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday.
All right, and then take a look around the rest of the globe. Tell me what you see.
Well, across the northern hemisphere, let's go over first over into the Europe arena, and it looks like their spring weather pattern is going to be well-continued spring-like with the best moisture in Western Europe. It looks like a near-average precipitation for the Ukraine, a little bit drier in southern Europe around Italy, down into those areas, the Mediterranean a little bit on the dry side, but a rather typical spring pattern there. If we go over to China, they have had a wet and active spring. That trend continues, but it's not unlike what's going to happen here in the Midwest. There's moisture early in the period, especially for central, southern, and south central areas of China. That's where the wettest weather will be.
Come back here to the Midwest for me just a bit. Now, what would set up that might break this serious session of rainfall that keeps coming through? How things could change that would help us out?
Well, what we've got to do is we've got to see the Pacific Ocean quit turning out so many storms and fronts. And it's just been a factory of weather systems that have come off the Pacific coast, traveled across the country, and have been able to help spawn this outbreak of active weather. It's probably going to be a couple of weeks. Usually the North Pacific begins to settle down once we get into an early summer pattern. Winter has been tough to die, especially in the North Pacific. And so I would say, Todd, we may have another couple of weeks. After that, I do see the pattern getting a bit more favorable.
Now, so it's that the fact is that winter has not subsided yet in parts of the world that develop those storms that push across us. Is that right then?
That is correct. The high northern latitudes continue to be very stormy and still colder than normal, and that is affecting our weather.
Okay, thanks much, Don.
Thank you.
Hey, Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.